What's up, everybody? It's Bretzky, and America is turning 250. And I can't think of a better way to celebrate that than playing on an American-owned social casino, SpinQuest.com. With all of your favorite games, live craps, bubble craps, live blackjack, there's no better place to play for free and win real cash prizes. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth, here on this Wednesday morning. Let's go to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Boy, there's been a lot of college basketball news this week, and we're going to discuss it with Dane O'Neill, who's on the line with us, senior writer for The Athletic, covering college basketball, and I guess a soon-to-be author of a book on the Big East. I am intrigued. Do tell, Dana. What can you tell us?
This time next year it will be out. It's basically just kind of a narrative love story, if you will, to the Big East from start to present, really, just kind of how it got started and all the crazy backstories of all the personalities and the crazy games and the amazing players that were in it. So I joke around with everybody that while everyone has been miserable these past few months, I've been living in the 80s. It's been really nice.
That 30 for 30, man, that was a walk, right? Down memory lane. I loved it. I was living in Lexington, Kentucky in 1986. I was in high school, and I skipped school to go to the Final Four practice, which was basically the Big East.
Wow.
Georgetown, yep. St. John's, yep. And Villanova. And Memphis, yep, State.
That's right. They upset the apple. Yeah, that was the height of it, but man, there's just, I don't know, you kind of go through all of it and you can't believe it actually happened, because the players were larger than life, the coaches were larger than life, they had fist fights, and it was bananas.
it certainly was. Well, we look forward to that. Good luck with that book. And so let's start with yesterday's news. There's been a lot of layers of news this week, the college basketball world. The big shocker, right as, I don't know about shocker, I guess we kind of had a hint this was coming, but it did go down when we were on, back basically this time yesterday when we were on the air, Greg Marshall out at Wichita State. Like I said, this had been brewing, but man, the things you hear, not good for Greg Marshall going all the way back to Winthrop.
Yeah, it's, you know, like you said, this has been ongoing for some time. My colleague CJ Moore and I wrote a story a month ago about the fact that the Wichita State was investigating accusations of abuse, player abuse, verbal and physical, involving Greg Marshall. And they started that investigation August 25th, I want to say. And then, you know, we also discovered that, like you said, guys at Winthrop who played for him at the beginning of his career went through similar circumstances. And, you know, I think basically, since the investigation completed, it's been just sort of a tap dance between lawyers trying to work out the separation agreement, which they finally got done yesterday. So Greg Marshall's out, but he's out with a lovely $7.75 million cushion, if
yep.
you will.
Yep, something I've always looked for in this business, but I'll never get.
I'll take four.
Hey, look, right, we can negotiate, but I'll take seven figures to go away any day and with a big smile on my face. I said this yesterday, and tell me if you agree or disagree. This stuff, look, has been going on forever, going back to when we were just talking about the 80s, all that stuff that we loved about, but we know plenty of coaches. This has been going on for decades and decades and decades and decades. And players tried to come forward, but nobody would listen. Or they didn't because they knew nobody would listen or they were afraid to. I think the difference today, the reason these coaches cannot get away with this behavior anymore, is just simply put, in this landscape, in 2020, as we're about to wrap up and it can go set sail and never be seen again, that, you know, student-athletes do have power now, and so they're willing to come forward and talk, and they're not afraid anymore. Do you believe that to be true?
I think it's a combination. I do think, look, I think coaches have always been hard on players and scream at them and yell and curse and all that. I do think most tend to walk the very fine line between that and being downright abusive. I don't think back in the day, having just reported all this, but, you know, John Thompson wasn't laying hands on anybody or punching anybody or doing anything like that. You know, he was tough and he was difficult. And he called them, you know, he called their attention to detail, if you will. But he also, you know, I think they felt like he could be trusted, that he wasn't out to injure them, hurt them, belittle them as much as motivate them. I think he understood the line. I think Greg Marshall crossed it. But certainly, to your point, yeah, I mean, you know, what's interesting about this story is I think a lot of people are like, well, why did they put up with it? Why did they put up with it? Well, they were scared. I mean, at the end of the day, the coach holds the key to your scholarship. And if you complain and nobody believes you, then you're done. And that's why I think what's happening now is administrations are starting to believe these players when they come forward. And the players understand that we don't have to put up with this stuff, that, you know, that there is some backing in what we say and some, you know, some validity to it, and that people will believe us. So, you know, I think that the false faith that everybody does it is there's degrees of it. And I think some people know that they know the difference, and those who don't are finally getting called out on it.
Dana, if we were building a roller coaster right now at an amusement park and we called it college basketball this season, how bumpy of a ride is this going to be this year?
Yeah, I've said it multiple times. I said, to me, this season is like when people put out their seasons, it's like giving Santa Claus a wish list. I have 25 things on it. I'd like to get 10. If you'd be okay with giving me 10 games, I'll take them, or 13, as it were, to get me eligible for the NCAA tournament. It's going to be like this. I mean, I was on a conference call with Dan Gavitt, the NCAA vice president, this week, and that's what he said. You know, if we start now, if we start January, if we start in February, it's going to be like this. We're going to have cancellations, and it's going to even feel worse in college football because of numbers. There's 357 teams in college basketball, and there's less players in closer contact. So this is the way it's going to be. Teams are going to get shut down. We're going to have stops and starts. But the goal for everyone is to try to get 13 games into your NCAA tournament eligible so they can host this tournament. That's what they have to have happen. They have to have an NCAA tournament. So you just have to buckle up until we get there.
Talking to Dana O'Neill from The Athletic, great college basketball coverage there. And Dana, I got one more on Greg Marshall, and then I want to get further into what's going on a daily basis with practice and things like that. But I thought about this morning. I was having a conversation with a friend of mine, and we were thinking back to his record at Winthrop. He was at Winthrop for a long time and won a bunch. And there were a couple of times, or I think it was Tennessee specifically, but there were tons of Power 5 jobs where his name always seemed to get in the mix, and then year after year he stayed at Winthrop. I'm just really curious, behind the scenes, like you just pointed out, there's plenty of coaches that are a little wacky, that are very demanding, but at the end of the day, their players love them, they're great characters, and they have that balance between crazy, demanding, yelling, but tough love. I'm just wondering how much this reputation has been there for Greg Marshall all these years, and we just never really paid that much attention until the players came forward.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, he's also been at Wichita State for a really long time and not move up to a Power 5 job, right? With a lot of opportunity. He took that team on an undefeated run in the Final Four. I mean, that usually merits movement if you want it. So, yeah, I think, you know, I definitely think that there were signs. I mean, look, if you've ever gone to a game and watched him coach, he's maniacal on the sidelines. But there was an incident not too long ago of him getting thrown out of an exhibition game in Canada because he darn near lost his mind on an official, and his players had back from getting into a fist fight. So it's not like it's like, oh, my goodness. And I think if you talk to people in the coaching fraternity who don't ever want to out each other, but if you talk to them privately, none of them are surprised. None of them are like, oh, my goodness, this is how Greg Marshall behaved? Everyone sort of knew. Did that stop him from getting jobs? I don't know. But, you know, sometimes your reputation does precede you, even if it's not talked about publicly. So you have to wonder, I think, in retrospect, if people, you know, tolerated it, knew it, put up with it, but that's why he didn't move anyplace else. I think it's a fair question to ask.
Yeah, that's what makes me sad. I put myself in the shoes of some of these players who, you know, they're playing for a team that's winning big. And so it's very easy for people who should be watching and probably are aware on some level that, hey, this guy is right up against the line. This is pretty tough stuff. But they justify it because they're winning. It just puts the player in a really tough spot to be able to have the courage to come forward and take the chance of, you know, having this happen. So I commend all those players for being honest and backing each other up.
I agree. I mean, 100%. Because, yeah, it's one thing to – it's difficult enough under the worst of circumstances to go forward and say my coach is treating me horribly. But, hey, we just went to the Final Four, and this guy's a jerk. Yeah, hi. Good luck with that. Wichita State, and we went to the Final Four, and I have a complaint about the coach. I mean, it's disgusting to say that out loud, and I hate to sound so cynical, but that is the truth of the matter.
So, Dana, I looked at your article, and I think there are probably a lot of sports fans right now that are just really glad to be having games, and you know they're told the college basketball season is starting here, and they haven't paid that much attention. But you know, it really jumped out at me. There are over 30 teams right now that can't practice because of the issues. So the numbers of basketball are going to make this really challenging because it doesn't take very many with the contact tracing to shut a team down.
No, absolutely. And it's really complicated because, of course, every league is different. I've been working on trying to collect league information from all 32 conferences. Like, what are your standards? I've gotten some, and the problem is the standards are, there are no standards. Like, what works for one league doesn't work for the other. And so your sit-out rules are different, and what, you know, what you have to do if one person tests positive, if it's a coach or if it's a player or if it's a manager. It's going to be really messy, and we're seeing this, you know, a lot of people are saying right now we're seeing this because there are still regular students on campus, and when the students clear out, it'll get better because, you know, there'll be less people and they'll be able to contain things more, except that's when the games start. And so then these teams start traveling from place to place and playing against other schools with other protocols. So, like I said, it's going to be messy, and it's not going to be fair. I mean, I've said, if whatever coach stands up on Selection Sunday and says, I deserved a bid and I didn't get one, I mean, we all should just take our shoes and throw it at him, because this is not – there is going to be no fair on Selection Sunday. It's going to be good luck to the committee trying to figure this out, because games are going to get canceled. But, you know, hey, we tried to play really good teams and we got COVID. Oh, well, sorry, you couldn't. Does that count? I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a mess.
I know just a couple of days ago they announced the tournament is going to be all in the Indianapolis area. And right around the same time is when Rick Pitino said, hey, we need to push this back a couple of months. It was a, you know, he doesn't quite have the pull that he had before, but is there any flexibility in the dates? If things just really are hard to get things in, can they push the dates of the tournament back at all?
I think everything is on the table. You know, when Dan Gavitt had that call earlier this week, he basically said that, you know, everything is on the table. You know, they are hoping to play a 68-18 tournament. Could they play 64? Could they play 32 if they had to? Yeah. They're hoping to start, you know, right when it's supposed to start, mid-March. If they have to push it back a week because of whatever complications, would they? Yeah, they would. Like I said, I think, you know, the idea of a May Madness, I think the idea is you start in January, but that's like pretending like some magic wand is going to change everything in January. It's not. I mean, I know Pfizer had great news and Moderna's had great news, but we're not going to all be vaccinated by January the 1st. This isn't going to just disappear. So that's sort of the NCAA's argument, is like, we can keep moving the goalposts, but that doesn't necessarily guarantee us anything. So their solution, and I think it's a wise one, is at least to say, when we can control what we can control, which is the NCAA tournament, we're bringing everybody to Indianapolis, and we're going to, like, we're not going to have a bubble, because it's not a bubble. This isn't a Disney resort with NBA money, but this is going to be very controlled environments, and try to pull this tournament off. I mean, people need it financially, and people want it. I mean, you're right. People want to watch college basketball and sports. They missed having that tournament last year. These kids all went through hell having it pulled out from underneath of them. So they want to do the right thing, and they're trying to do everything they can to protect it and make it happen.
We're talking to Dana O'Neill of The Athletic. She's a senior college basketball writer for them about the potential of the NCAA tournament. So I'm curious of your thoughts here. We've seen football and how it just, you have the conferences kind of doing their thing. The Big Ten canceled the season and then they changed their mind. And it just didn't feel like that they were working together as much in football. Do you feel like that process has been a little bit better through basketball and trying to get to at least this point?
Yes and no. I mean, like I said, I think the one challenge is just all the protocols are not like uniform for the 32 conferences. But I do believe that that basketball's advantage long has been Dan Gavitt. I mean, there's an NCAA vice president who's in charge of basketball, and he's as close to a czar as you can possibly get for the sport. And everyone likes him and everyone trusts him. I mean, they know he's a good man with a good head on his shoulders. And I think there's been a lot of conversations that he's in on. Like, he's in on the NABC calls, and he's on the calls with all the doctors, and he's on the calls with these, you know, these kind of power coaches who have gotten together and sort of, I don't know what they call themselves, but they get together biweekly and chat about the state of the game. And he's in on all of that. So I think he has more of a collective understanding and, a goal to pull this off. And I do think there's a collegiality. I've always believed in college basketball among coaches more than there is in football. I don't know why, it's personality or what it is, but I think there's a recognition of trying to do the greater good here and have a basketball season. And it's not going to be like, I'm going to have my basketball season and step on your head to get there. It's like, we all have to get to this massive, great thing that we call March Madness. So let's figure out how to work to get there together.
I know in your article, you quoted that they were going to share, you know, around $600 million. They lost $700 million because of the cancellation of the 2020 tournament and ended up sharing about $225 million. Do we truly know what the long-term ramifications of that will be yet, even if they do play this year's tournament?
I think it's, no, we don't, and I think it's going to be ongoing. I mean, look, even if they play the tournament this year, odds are they aren't going to have fans. I mean, or at least certainly not like the kind of fans that we're used to. So the ticket revenue is not going to be what the ticket revenue was. I think the numbers will be staggering because, look, while it hurts all schools, you know, every school is suffering without their NCAA shares and without the NCAA money. Let's face it, there are some schools in college basketball that are really going to suffer because the beauty of college basketball is its everyman status that, you know, Loyola of Chicago and Wichita State can make the Final Four and Butler and VCU, not just, you know, Alabama and Clemson every year. So those schools that don't have football, that don't have that, you know, that safety net, are really going to get hurt by what they didn't make last year. They're not going to have fans in attendance this year, odds are. So, yeah, we're going to see, you know, we're going to see some difficult times here if we can't get through this. But, you know, the NCAA tournament is not the salve. It's not going to save college basketball, but it's sure going to help if they can get that CBS money.
So your gut feeling is, do they play it or do they not?
Mm-hmm. I think they play it. I really do. I think, look, I mean, I say this not knowing, of course, what's going to happen with the virus. I mean, we have no clue where we are headed in terms of the virus and statewide shutdowns and rules that are well beyond college athletics. Like, you know, we have, believe it or not, the NCAA and college athletics don't rule the world. But presuming that there is a way that they can play it, they will play it. Like, 13 games is the threshold. And from November 25th to like March 16th, you should hopefully be able to get 13 games in and make it. And they even, and if you can't, there is a waiver process. If teams can't make it to 13 games because of shutdown, they can ask for a waiver to be considered for the tournament. So I think if the hope, if everything allows the tournament to be played and the season to be played, you know, in the grand scheme of things, there will be one. I think, you know, the one thing we have no idea about is what's going to happen in the next few weeks. But the virus itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Fingers are crossed for sure. Dana O'Neill of The Athletic, sure. Senior writer for them. Hey, we appreciate the time today.
Anytime. Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate you.
Absolutely. Really good stuff there. And you can check her article out at theathletic.com. Very cool service that they have. A lot of good stuff there. Darren, I know that you have a word before we come back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase.
Another cool service, DraftKings Sportsbook. Yeah. Week 10's in the books. It's done. On to week 11. It's time to get ready and get geared up for another week of a lot of action. Yeah, there's no better place to get in and on all that action when DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app. All you have to do to add to the excitement of week 11 is listen up. DraftKings Sportsbook is going to bring back their can't-miss offer. If you haven't tried DraftKings Sportsbook yet, you've heard me talking about them, but you haven't tried it yet, well, this may nudge you in the right direction. Head to the App Store right now. It's free and easy to do. Download the app because you don't want to miss this. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving all new users a chance to earn a sign-up bonus up to $1,000 when you sign up and use the promo code 1025GAME. DraftKings Sportsbook has endless ways for you to bet, from live betting, betting on your favorite players. They do it all. Don't worry. If football isn't your thing, DraftKings is giving all MMA fans who sign up now the chance to triple their winnings for any bet placed on UFC 255. DraftKings is safe, reliable, and secure. making it easy for you to deposit and withdraw your money at your convenience. Once again, all you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use the promo code 1025GAME when you sign up and get up to $1,000. You're hearing me correctly. That code again, 1025GAME. Get the deposit bonus up to $1,000 for a limited time only DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Bonus comprised of first deposit bonus. Deposit bonus requires 25 times playthrough. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and needs help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for $10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.